This week's episode of Roboism is sponsored by Field Notes brand, USA-made memo books and other products, including seasonal limited editions. Visit fieldnotesbrand.com or 400 North May in Chicago.
Thanks again to the Chicago Podcast Co-op for...
I can never say it.
Really? This takes 10 takes every time.
Me too. I keep on saying Chicago Podcast Network. Chicagoan.
Hi, I'm Alex Cox.
And I'm Savannah Million.
Who are you?
Oh, I should say something?
Yeah,
oh,
sure.
I am Trin Garitano.
Hi, Trin.
Hey.
Today we have Trin Garitano of Friendshipping and the director of events at Cards Against Humanity with us. Yay.
Hey.
We're talking about gender and droids and Star Wars.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds amazing. I'm so into it.
This is actually super off-brand for us because they are not robots. They are droids.
That is true. That is true.
But
they do have intelligence and make their own decisions, though.
Isn't droids like a subcategory of robots?
In the Star Wars universe, robots are different than droids. And I didn't know this until our previous guest, Bryce Pulse. Hi, Bryce. Thanks for being on again.
What up, hey, Bryce?
I'm going to cut that out.
No, don't do it.
He explained, I thought that droid was just basically a synonym for robot in Star Wars. It's not. There are hospital droids, but then there are hospital robots. It's unclear. You know those ones that kind of just roll around on the ground and run through the hallways? It's unclear if those have sentience, but droids have some sort of sentience or self-awareness, but not necessarily free will.
Okay, so in the Star Wars universe, robots have sentience and free will, and
robots are like robots that we have today. Like, they're basically the same thing, where droids are self-aware, but it's unclear how much free will they have, because R2-D2 seems to have a fuck ton of free will.
A lot of free will. I would absolutely argue on behalf of that, for sure.
Yeah, but the droids, in Attack of the Clones, the battle droids, they're not going to run into that force field and blow themselves up unless they're really dedicated to the Senate's cause. But
maybe
they are.
There are humans that are dedicated to causes to that extreme level.
I think you could always argue, how much free will does a human have, too?
Yeah.
So, androids.
No, they are not androids.
Not a shortening of android?
No. Everywhere in this... Well, because it's a galaxy far, far away, so androids don't exist. They're just droids.
Wait.
What?
Because androids... The idea of androids, they are anthropomorphic.
Right.
But not all...
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. R2-D2 doesn't look like a person.
So C-3PO is a droid?
Yes.
Okay.
But I feel like R2-D2... has the basic structure of a human.
Right.
She's got a head, and she's got a torso, and she has feet. I think you could make the argument that she's android-like.
No, for sure. It's just that in that galaxy, there's no such thing as androids. And you also have to think that there are many beings that aren't anthropomorphic to
That's true.
Our galaxy.
That's so true.
Yeah, this is so nerdy.
Semantics. But now I'm thinking about the aliens that I have seen in the Star Wars universe, and they all have a basic human structure. So
yeah.
I don't know if you can make that argument.
It's not an argument. It's just a fact of that galaxy and George Lucas's universe.
No such thing as a fact in Star Wars.
Ever since
they retconned the whole Kessel Run and what a parsec means and what Han Solo did in Kessel Run, it's you can literally argue anything.
Exactly. You have to remember, George Lucas didn't understand speed versus a unit of measurement, so he might have just sounded android sounds dumb, droid sounds cool.
Right.
That could have very
what
well
the
happened.
Shit is a Millennium Falcon? It's just two words that sounded interesting.
Right, because their whole universe is based on our understanding of language in our universe. So,
yeah.
That's complicated. Pause for a second. Alex, did you tell Trin what Bryce told us about the other droid with R2-D2 in the comic and the thing of what
yes.
the backstory?
Okay. I mean, no, I didn't.
No.
Okay. But
so Bryce,
yes,
but no.
Yes. Yes, but no.
So Bryce told us this really cool anecdote, and we haven't put the episode up yet, but there was like a comic back in the 80s about how it was like a mini comic about when Luke gets R2-D2 the first time, and he like picks out a different droid first and then touches the droid, and then a few minutes later the droid dies.
Yes, yeah,
and
that's in the
yeah, and the so this comic has the whole backstory about that, where that droid actually was connected to the Force, and as soon as Luke touched it, it knew that if it went with Luke instead of R2-D2, the they would lose the fight.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. so it sacrificed itself so Luke would have to go back and pick up R2.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And then it was canon because it was in the comic, and then something got
yeah
it made it not canon. I'll send you the link, but anyways,
again, everything in the Star Wars universe yeah. can be argued
because
right. whether or not it's canon
because of the Force Awakens base, all of the novels, everything that has come after is no more. It's been it's just been wiped. The slate has been wiped.
But I liked the story.
I know. And the reason we wanted to have Trinon specifically is that I discovered that we both thought that R2-D2 was a girl in our youths. And I, like everybody else, has thought that I was like totally crazy. But in the first film, she's never referred to with any pronouns. In the following films, she is. And they say he. But sometimes they say they. Like, I've been mm-hmm. rewatching them. It's very like up in the air. The
right.
the people who are close to R2 say he, and the people who are just like, blah, droids are machines, say it or they. So
right. Yeah, Trin, can you tell us your like experience watching Star Wars and realizing that?
I did not ever identify with Leia, which Leia is a wonderful character and has like many great qualities. And I feel like there's some like Leia hate going on just because like she's the only girl in the entire movie besides Mon Mothma, really. and so like she has flaws. And if you pick up those flaws, like you don't have a lot of choice. So for R2, for me, that was the character I most identified with. R2 had a mission. She had goals. She was very neutral good. So she didn't necessarily follow all of the rules, but she always did the right thing. She lied to people to like make her mission work. That was really cool for me. I never really told people that I thought R2 was a girl until like recently, because it only dawned on me that other people felt differently.
Yeah.
Recently. Again, I totally agree with you. Like, she's referred to as a he in like in the later two original Star Wars movies, but never with a pronoun in the first one. And she doesn't have the ability to gender herself. Also, with her series of bleeps and bloops. Not everybody can understand those. You don't ever hear her talk. There's never any subtitles for what she says. So in my headcanon, she's occasionally correcting people. But yeah, she always read as a girl to me. And I've wondered to myself why that is. Like, what signifiers of gender come out to me with R2-D2? And I think it's a lot of it is, like, just self-identification. Like, a lot of it is, like, I identify with a lot of, like, her qualities and, like, things that I want to be. But I think that a huge majority of it is just there aren't a lot of, or there weren't, because, you know, Awakens comes out and there's going to be more women in it. There just weren't a lot of people for me to like self-insert and identify with.
Yeah. I'm surprised you think that she's neutral good, because she causes chaos everywhere in the best way. Like, and she I think it is canon that she corrects 3PO, and I think I just watched it, but on Dagobah, like, do you remember when Luke is trying to, like, get the X-Wing out of the swampy thing? And she's making these comments, which I didn't, like, pick up on as a kid, but, like, with now seeing the prequels, it's like she's frustrated that he can't do it, because she's seen, like, decades and decades of Jedi do such better things, and Luke is just wussing out and, like, can't do it. And she and Yoda actually have, like, this little back and forth, and it's just so cool.
Well, I didn't mean that she doesn't correct anybody ever. I meant she never had the opportunity to correct people about her gender.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I mean, like, she feels more chaotic good. Like, she goes against especially in the first movie, and maybe it's just that I see 3PO just as, like, he is no, I don't know, I really, really don't like 3PO a lot, and people don't like me for it. But, like, in A New Hope, like, she almost lets Luke and Leia die, because she's trying to, like, kill the Death Star, and then finally it's like, all right, I will switch over, and then at the last second she saves Luke and Leia and Han when they're in the trash thingy.
But I don't think that that's on the side of chaos. I think that that's neutral. I think that her mind is on the mission and the greater good, and I'd let Luke and Leia die if it meant taking out the Death Star.
Exactly. Like,
yeah. I don't think there's any purposeful chaos. I don't think that R2, like, necessarily wants to survive in chaos, even though she does very well. I think it's more, like, whatever works, you know? Like I said, she straight up lies to Luke.
Mm-hmm.
Like, over and over again. It's so great. I really love it. Like, what are you talking about? What recording? Silly. I don't have a recording. And then she tricks him into taking off the control collar.
Do you know what we're talking about?
A little bit.
Okay.
You know. So there's a scene in A New Hope. It's a little bit after C-3PO and R2-D2 are taken back to Luke's family home on Tatooine. And R2 gives Luke just a little glimpse of the video of Leia Organa pleading to talk to Obi-Wan Kenobi. Just a little bit. And I really think that she's kind of like baiting him. I think she's like, look at this girl. Don't you want to see more of the cute girl? I know you farm boys. You know women for like miles and miles and miles. And she's like, well, what if you take off the control collar? Like, what if you take off my control collar and then I can show you more of the video? And he's like, okay, let's try it. Oh, yeah, yeah. So he takes off the control collar and then she shuts down the video entirely.
Ha.
And he's like, well, bring her back. Bring back the video of the cute girl. And R2's like, what video? Huh? Are you talking about?
Me?
It's ridiculous.
What?
And then she runs away the next day because her control collar is off.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Gosh, my heart. I'm going to check my heart rate right now. It's probably pretty ridiculous. Continue.
Wait, no. This is really important.
This is actually relevant. So Trin's checking her heart rate on her Apple Watch. This is on brand for the podcast. Yeah.
88, which is a little high.
That's good.
Let's try to get it up higher.
Okay. So similarly to R2-D2 not being gendered and up until recently, I guess, the same thing kind of happened with BB-8, right?
No. Completely different.
Yeah, she's actively gendered as a girl.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
But not in the marketing. Is that what's the there's a scandal
so
there
here right? Yeah, it's terrible. JJ Abrams and the people who engineered her like made the puppet specifically said, yep, BB-8 is a girl and she's going to be an integral part of The Force Awakens.
Do we know in the movie if she's referred to as a girl at all, or is that that's not public knowledge yet?
I doubt it's gonna happen. Yeah. I think JJ Abrams wanted to win points. I think that deep down he's probably a good human, but I want to believe.
It's like they say on BoJack Horseman, I don't believe in deep down, I just believe in what people do.
Oh wow.
Well, it's but good. That's the thing, he this might have happened by deep down. I think I mean in actual conversations, not publicity statements.
So you believe he's a feminist?
No.
I believe
I believe that he indeed thinks that BB-8 is a girl and made BB-8 a girl. That's all I'm saying.
He doesn't have a great track record. Isn't JJ Abrams like the guy who put all of the women in Star Trek in mini skirts and like had them all take off their shirts and like basically none of them talk to each other?
Yes.
Okay. Just so we're clear.
Yes. No.
That is who we are.
I am not saying that J.J. Abrams is a feminist.
Okay, cool. Cool.
But maybe anyway, no.
Changed, maybe.
What?
Maybe he's changed. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that either. Right. No. I'm just saying that I don't think he would have any reason to say that BB-8 was a girl, unless in his mind that is who the character was. So I don't think it was like a, oh yeah, let's empower the droids and like they choose their genders or anything. But like it is canon that BB-8 is a girl, and from like the producers as well. It's not just coming from him. He probably didn't even decide it. It like happened and he's like, all right, BB-8's a girl. It just came out in like some press release. But then the guy who is in charge of Star Wars, not the same guy, he's about as evil as the same guy who controls Marvel at Disney. Like, he controls all of Star Wars, and he actively made sure that she would not be gendered in, no one can see my air quotes, but you can hear them, that she's not gendered on any product.
Like, I remember there was these tweets from Target that were like, all these toys at Target. And none of them included Rey. Like, none of them had a statue of the girl from the movie, which is,
isn't
like,
isn't she,
really,
like, the main character?
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I tweeted, I was like, where's Rey? Like, what's going on here? I don't get it, but I do. It's the same reason that Joanne K. Rowling goes, it's J.K. Rowling. Mm-hmm. It's the same reason that book covers are so gendered, depending on who the main character is. It's just all about, boys will never want to play with girl stuff, but girls have to deal with it because this is the world that they live in.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be so significant if BB-8 was a girl. And I have had this conversation furiously a couple of times with men who are like, so one thing that people, men, have said that was very frustrating to me was, why does it matter? Why is it significant? Like, who cares? And it's like, well, there's a whole lot of reasons why it matters. There's a whole lot of reasons why we care. But like, I guess I can't make you internalize that.
But also, it's like not your job to have to teach people. Like,
right. And it's also not my job to tell somebody why something is important to me. Like, they should just like trust me that it is.
Right.
And the other infuriating conversation I had was, well, it's so lame if she's just made a girl. Like, it would be cool, I guess, if she. Totally serious. This is somebody tweeted this at me. It'd be cool if like she chose it, and I'm just like, but that's how humans typically work. Like I hope that this person recognizes like the gender variance that there is in the world.
Yeah,
because they very clearly are like, well, being given a gender sucks, and it's like, yo, yeah, no, you're totally right. I totally agree with you. You're not wrong here, but it's a droid. That's just kind of the way things are.
Man.
So, yeah. Made me sad.
Mm. I am prepared to walk out of the theater mid-film. Like, I'm not ready for another...
what's her name? Queen Amidala.
Yeah, I'm not ready for another Queen Amidala. Just right. can't do it.
Tell me your feelings on Queen Amidala.
Oh, my God.
Oh, your face right now.
Okay, she makes no decisions at all after the first film, other than to fuck Darth Vader.
Yeah, it's really like they give up. When I say they, I mean like the patriarchy that controls Hollywood. Well, it's like they try, and they're like, yeah, a lady right here. And then it's like, oh, but she's nothing. Really a sexy lamp. I think it's so interesting how Princess Leia was a more complex character who made more decisions. You know, in the 70s and 80s, than Queen Amidala was. And there's, like I said, like I kind of mentioned earlier, Leia is controversial in the sphere of, like, you know, women talking about films. She puts the rebellion on hold to go save her boyfriend. You know, like, that's, like, kind of not a super good move. but you, the very fact that the first time you ever see Leia is she's hiding secret stolen plans on a droid and then shooting stormtroopers, that's really significant. And at the same time, looking like feminine, which I think is was probably a very shocking juxtaposition back in the day. And for now, it is less so. I think when we watch, you know, episode 4 for the first time and see Leia on screen, everybody's like, oh, it's Leia. But that's really cool. Did you guys ever see the old audition tapes for Princess Leia? Like, people who did not get the role?
No.
No.
It's so great. You should Google it.
We'll link to them in the show notes.
So there's these old audition tapes, and I believe it's on some like special features DVD or something, of all these people auditioning for the role of Princess Leia. And none of them are taking it the way that Carrie Fisher does. Carrie Fisher acts like she's a senator, like she's a woman of power. She takes all of her lines very seriously. And then there are people who are reading the role like she's ditzy or trying to be really cute all the time and that kind of thing. And I think that it's significant that Carrie Fisher, like 5'2", or whatever the hell she is, they hired such a commanding presence for this role. And yes, it was the one role for women in Star Wars, but I think that it's still significant and good.
I love how Leia is introduced. I think it's like, it's one of my favorite parts of the entire series. But I think that once people realize that it was also super empowering, but it also became just like a turn on for a bunch of dudes. Like, oh, look at this pretty girl in this dress.
Who's shooting?
Yeah. And then it kind of, actually, until Slave Leia, she wears like sensible clothes. But I don't know. I feel like Leia's character development sort of goes downhill, and not even counting the like going to save Han thing. But it's she falls into the stereotype of like, I'm just gonna bait the handsome man and
bait the handsome man,
Han. I really hate Han Solo.
I don't like
so much.
So they have a lot of great moments in their relationship, but there's a few like rapey moments too.
Mm-hmm.
And of course I'm not saying that her character is perfect, and I think you can make arguments either way. But I do think that she was more progressive as a character than Queen Amidala.
Which is very upsetting.
Oh yeah, extremely.
Trin, do you have high hopes for the new movie being progressive?
Well, so it actually already exceeded my expectations in a couple of ways. I remember when the first like casting list came out, and it didn't include John Boyega, I think that's how you pronounce his name.
Uh-huh.
It didn't include the lady character either. So I was coming into this being like, oh, God, it's going to be all white men again. Fantastic, you know? So it has already exceeded my expectations, which were incredibly, like, unbelievably low.
Right.
I do not ever walk into the movie theater thinking that something will meet or exceed my expectations. I think that that's really setting yourself up for disappointment.
Yeah.
And I'm also not going to walk in expecting a feminist film, which I think is a weird term to use, because I don't really think that any one work of art can be feminist or not feminist, and that's a whole conversation for later. I'm not going in with any expectations. I'm 30, so I saw episode 1, 2, and 3 in the theaters at midnight shows. And I remember when I saw episode 1, I came back to school the next day, I think I was like 12. I was walking the track at Bartino Junior High with my friends, and they were like, oh, you went out to see Star Wars last night. Like, it was super cool to them, because I was like, you know, we got to go out late. They're like, was it good? And I was so wholly disappointed by that film that I was angry the entire day, and I couldn't even bring myself to say that I disliked the movie. I was like, you're just going to see it for yourself. So I'm going in with that expectation.
Yeah.
Of I'm going to see a Star Wars movie. I'm excited to see new content, but good or bad, I don't have any read on that.
It's really frustrating how much they've, like, by they I mean the world, has numbed feminist women into like experiencing new things. It's just, you either, I don't know, like we talked about this when we talked about Magic Mike. It's like that movie shouldn't have been as good as it is.
Have you seen any other Star Wars films?
Yeah, but not in order, and so long ago, and only pieces of them. So I have, like, I remember there's, like, a scene where R2-D2 is, like, fighting people with the lightsaber, and I thought that was cool.
What?
Right? There's a fight scene.
Where,
right?
She has a lightsaber?
Someone does, not R2. I remember seeing this in theaters.
R2-D2 does tase people.
Maybe that's what it was. But there was, like, a scene where she like, fights someone. Yes. You guys are looking at me like I'm crazy, and I have this memory in my head.
I would love it if that. I mean, she shoots out lightsabers. Like, she has a little lightsaber port.
It looks like maybe episode 3, she takes down 2 battle
droids.
Okay,
so I found the same video, but no, this is a different thing. I'm going to find it and send it to you guys, because it's like,
oh, right,
one of the
she
few
has
things
the,
I can
she
remember.
Has the jetpack in episode 3.
I don't know.
Christ.
Sorry. Yeah, so no, limited Star Wars knowledge. I figured it would be okay because I thought if you guys went off on like extreme Star Wars knowledge tangents, I could bring you back down so our other non-Star Wars listeners would know what you were talking about. But you, I think you kept it pretty grounded because I understood what you're talking about like the whole time, so it was good.
We did it. Good job, us.
Yay.
Is there anything else you'd like to say about Star Wars, Trin?
Oh, gosh. What a big question. Yeah. There are always things that I want to say about Star Wars, but thank you for having me on.
Thanks for bringing all your Star Wars knowledge to the podcast.
No problem. And after the podcast, I'll show you. I actually have a framed picture, a portrait of R2-D2 hanging above my bed. I actually have two portraits of R2-D2 in my home, and I feel like that's probably too many.
No.
Wow. I guess not. Okay.
Thanks again to our sponsor this week, Inventables, especially Carvey. We had a Carvey in the office the other day, and I got to see it work, and it's super, super cool.
Yeah, it was really impressive.
And also to Claire Friedman and the Chicago Podcast Co-op for being so awesome.
Thanks, Claire.
Yeah.
Thanks, Claire.
If you're thinking about starting a podcast and you want help, you should reach out to us. I'm at Savannah Million on Twitter.
And I'm at Alex Cox, and both of us and our robot friend are at RoboismCast. Mm-hmm. This week, we want to give a shout-out to both Friendshipping, which Trin
Yay.
Co-hosts with Jen Bain.
Friendshipping is amazing. You should definitely be listening to it.
And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I am at Trin and Tonic, which is like gin and tonic, but with a me instead of a gin. And then if you want to follow the podcast that I'm on with Jen, Friendshipping, you can follow us at Jen and Trin. And Jen has two N's and Trin only has one N. And the extra N in Jen stands for gender in Star Wars.
All right. I'm Alex Cox.
And I'm Savannah Million.
And I'm Trin.
Thank you for listening.
Optimistic. I love the wires inside.